Not just because I get to go in the baptismal during church, that's always a fun part, but I just love to have water baptisms. In fact, this is my unofficial plug. If you've not been water baptized and you've been waiting, and now's the chance. It's already warm, it's ready to go, so if you want to get water baptized, please see me, let me know. We'd love to dunk you. Again, it's an awesome, awesome thing, and so we celebrate with that today. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Brian, and I am the lead pastor here at New Heart, and it's my great privilege to share the word with you today. So if you've got a Bible with you today, or you've got a Bible app on your phone and you want to pull that out, you can turn to Luke chapter 12, and we're going to dive right into the word in just a moment, but I just wanted to say some things before we even get started. In fact, this last week, as I was looking over my notes and looking at where we are in the Gospel of Luke, some of y'all know that we've been going through the book of Luke for a long time. A very long time, and when I made the decision that we were going to go through the whole Gospel of Luke, I had an idea it was going to take a long time, but as I was laying out the rest of the series, we're going to go clear through the end of summer going through Luke's Gospel. So I hope you're enjoying this. I hope the Lord has been speaking to you as a result as we look at the teachings and life and ministry of Jesus. You can't go wrong looking at the teachings of Jesus, am I right? So I've had a good time, and today we get to talk through some scripture in Luke chapter 12 that sometimes maybe we might skip over. And this is the beauty of going verse by verse through the Bible, is there's scriptures that sometimes we read and we're like, oh, I know that one. I got that one memorized, right? I got it on a poster. And then there's other scriptures that we come across that we say, that's a little more difficult to understand. I gotta spend some time going deep in that. And today is one of those sort of scriptures. And I'm excited about it. And so I hope that you're ready. Turn to the person next to you and say, it's going to be okay. All right, good. Hopefully it's going to be great, but I'm just setting your standards low. But this morning, we're going to look at the teachings of Jesus, because here's the deal. In this world, there's a lot of things that pull for our attention, isn't there? Even right now, you've got phones nudging you in your pocket saying, hey, look at me, right? There's apps trying to get your attention. There's sales people trying to sell you something. And if you're in sales, this isn't a blow against you, but there's something important. There's lots of things vying for our attention. In fact, in the day and age we live in now, not only that, but our salespeople, they know a lot about us, right? They know what kind of food we like to eat and where we like to go, because all the internet has connected everything. And so as a result, I think many of us, whether we acknowledge or realize it or not, we've gotten a little bit more resistant to being sold things. We've got a little bit more resistant to those things. And so as a result, I believe some of us in our relationship towards God have gone from having an attitude and a posture like this, God, I want to receive, to one maybe a little bit more like this, like, I'll wait and see. I'll wait and see, Jesus. And I would submit to you that this morning, as we come to God's word, I want to have a posture that's like this. And if we do, I would submit to you, God is going to speak to you. He's going to reveal his truth to you. He's going to meet you there. But to receive from God, we've got to be open, don't we? We have to be open. We have to be receptive. We got to tune in to what he's speaking to us about. And in fact, we've got to be open to do those things, because Jesus invites us to do what? He says, follow me. This is what Jesus says in John's gospel, John 12, 26. It says, if anyone serves me, he must follow me. He must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. So there's something important about following Jesus. Over and over again, Jesus, when he teaches us, he tells us that we've got to follow him. When he calls the disciples, he says, hey, drop what you're doing and follow after me. And so there's something important about us following him. And here's the big idea this morning. If you're taking notes and you got one of those note sheets, the first fill in the blank is this. Is that we must choose to follow Jesus, spirit, soul, and body. And that's what I want to talk about today. That's the big idea, because following Jesus is not something as simple as clicking a button on Facebook. You know what I mean? Some of us, we follow celebrities. We follow our favorite bands or musicians or artists. We follow people on Facebook just by clicking a button, right? And it's so easy. I push the button, it says follow. I'm following Guy Fieri, or I'm following, whoever it is, whatever political figure or whatever person that I'm interested in following, I just press the button. But Jesus says, follow me, and he's not talking about that kind of follow. See, I press the button on Facebook, and all of a sudden, I start hearing from that person, right? I see what they're doing. I see as they're promoting events or promoting things, and I might follow him. But Jesus says the sort of following that I'm looking for is a little bit different. Jesus wants to have a relationship with us, a real and practical one. But Jesus wants us to follow him spirit, soul, and body. And I want to talk about that for just a second before we dive into the rest of the scripture. Because Jesus does want us to follow him spiritually. That Jesus came to restore us in our right relationship with God. That was the reason he came, is for the lost among us, those that were far from God, to bring us home to him. And by the way, all of us are far from God without Jesus. We all need him. So Jesus wants to heal us spiritually, but he also wants to do some work in our soul. He wants us to follow him with our soul. And our soul, many theologians would argue, includes not just our emotions, but also our mind. That thing that makes us, our emotions, our will, our thoughts, and our personality. And following Jesus has always been meant to transform us, not just spiritually, not just a spiritual check mark, but to change us from the inside out, to change the way we think, the things we believe, those things that are deep within us, and finally, in our bodies. And some of us have no problem understanding this side of following Jesus physically, right? The disciples, we understood. They got up and they followed Jesus, right? They walked after him. We understand that. But that is the last of which he says to do. And your life and mine, they're meant to look different after we put our trust and hope in Jesus Christ. So let's look at Luke chapter 12. We're going to look at verse 8 and 9 to start, and then we're going to go a little bit deeper today. But it says this, Jesus says, "I tell you, everyone who acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man will acknowledge before the angels of God, but the one who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God." So far, we've heard that, right? This is in the category, I've heard that a time or two. Maybe my pastor said it a couple times during a couple services I've been at. I've heard that word before. But here's the big deal, if we boil that first portion down, is that our faith was never, ever meant to be private. It was never meant to be hidden away. Now, I know there's something that sounds counterintuitive about that, but our faith was never meant to be private. See, Jesus talks about acknowledging him before men. And we see a great correlation between our actions and his. He says, if you'll acknowledge me before men, I'll acknowledge you in heaven before my Father, before the angels. He said, but if you don't, I won't. So there's something important about us doing that. But some of us have bought into this lie. This politically correct lie that says that if you have faith, it's meant to be hidden. That if you've got something of a love for God, then you've got to hide that away. That you don't talk about that among polite company. You don't talk about that around anyone else. Now, I don't know where we got this because, man, I love my wife. I'm not afraid to tell everyone about it, right? Because I love her. I'm not afraid to show it. But some of us have gotten to this idea that our faith is meant to be hidden away, and it's kind of like this. I was thinking this week, it's kind of like this. Now, this is not my gym bag, but my gym is actually hiking, so this is kind of like my gym bag. I like to go to the gym, but some of us, we have this idea that our faith is like this t-shirt, and man, when it's Sunday morning, and I'm like, woo, I got my church shirt on, and I'm going to put it on, and I'm going to show the world, right, until I go to lunch. And then I put it away, right? And then I got to take it and I got to crumple it back up and put it in my gym bag until I come back to the gym next week, because that's the only place for my faith. That's the only time I take this out of the bag, is when it's time for me to go to the gym, when it's time for me to grow spiritually. Maybe I go to my community group and I'll pull out my gym bag and I'll pull out my follower of Jesus shirt and I'm going to put it on. And man, everyone at my community group's going to know I love Jesus. But when I get out into the world, when I go somewhere else, then, well, that's not the time, that's not the place. So I put that back into my gym bag. And some of us have that impression of what what our faith is meant to be like. But our faith was never meant to be hidden. It was never meant to be hidden away or private in that way. See, Jesus says, acknowledge me before men. Not just acknowledge me in a safe space, but acknowledge me before men. See, this acknowledgement is more than just simply saying a head nod to Jesus, like, I like that guy, he's pretty cool, right? It's not just a pushing a like button on a Facebook page and saying, yep, I'm a fan of Jesus, I follow all his posts. Jesus says acknowledgement is more than just words alone, but it involves a witness both of our words and of our deeds. Now again, we're not saved by anything we do. So let me just get that out of the way right in front of you right now, that you're not saved by the works that you can do for God. All the good things you do for God don't make him love you more. And on the other side of that coin, all of the things that you've done, your sin and your brokenness and all the rest, those things don't make God love you less. The good news of the gospel is that God loves you, period. And that he's made a way to wipe away all those things of bad and all those things of good. God looks at those as the way I look at my children when they try and help me with chores. He says, good job, son. You tried. You tried, right? And I do say that, and my kids try and clean the windows. I say, good job, kids, you tried. And now I'm going to go back and finish cleaning it, right? Because it's really not clean. But that's the way God looks at us. And our good works don't earn us any merit with God. He says that the gospel says that he made the way. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father by their good works or by anything they do, but only through Jesus Christ. And that's the way. But Jesus does give us this thing. He makes a statement. He says clearly that if we'll acknowledge him before men, he'll acknowledge us before the Father who's in heaven. But he said, if you don't, I won't. So there's something important about not just having a faith that's hidden away in a gym bag, but a faith that we have out in the open. I'm not saying we got to be obnoxious, but a faith that's visible in all situations. God could make us, but he doesn't. As the old expression goes, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Well, God made the door for us. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He made a door for us to get back into relationship. Not only did he do that, but the Bible tells us that the Spirit of God draws us close to him. It's as if God not only made a door, but he put the door right in front of you. Just imagine a door standing right in front of you, wide open. But not only did he make a door, not only did he make it close, but then he invites us in. He says, would you come in? Would you come in with me? And see, God can take us to the door. He can draw us to the door. He can invite us through the door, but we've got to put our trust and our hope in him. We've got to take that step of faith. That phrase used in Luke's gospel is one that's a little bit strange. Maybe you caught it as we read it. He said, I tell you, everyone who acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man will acknowledge before the angels of God, Luke's gospel says. Well, those of you who have gone through the Bible with us a couple times, you've read, there's several gospel accounts that tell the same story. But there's some that have a really wrong view of angels. I don't have time to dive into angelology today, but they have too high a view of angels. But this is what many theologians would point out as another just way of referencing God, that he's saying before the Father. He's saying before God himself. In fact, they would call this a circumloquation, or circumloquation, actually, where, again, Luke uses many words to describe God where few words would be there. What does that mean? Matthew's gospel gives us a clearer picture. Matthew 10, 20, or 32, he says, everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge before who? My Father who's in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will deny before my Father who's in heaven. See, to follow Jesus is to live for him. To not be afraid to pull our faith out of the gym bag when we go into circumstances that maybe don't look like gym. They don't look like church. And being willing to demonstrate those things and not be ashamed. Romans 1:16 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God for the salvation to everyone who believes. See, but I would submit to you that all too often I am ashamed of the gospel. This is an area where I say, Lord, would you make me not be ashamed of the gospel, not be afraid to pull out the good news that you've given me. And we are ashamed of the gospel. But I'm not ashamed to be his follower. I'm not afraid to tell the world about Jesus because I know that it's the only hope this world has ever got, right? There's no hope for this world in politics. I don't know, that's a news flash. I don't care what side you're voting for or rooting for. There's no hope for the world in politics. There's none. The only hope that this world has is in Jesus Christ. He's the hope of the world. So I'm not ashamed of it, but we've got the cure to the world's biggest problem, and we know all about it, and it's the problem of sin. Not only the problem of sin, but the problem of death. I don't know about you, but I'm kind of allergic to dying. I don't want to die, and I don't think any of our friends and our neighbors want to die either, but God gives us the hope for eternal life. That's good news, right? We got the hope for eternal life, but some of us were afraid to ever talk about it. See, though we die, we'll be raised again to newness of life. Now, there are moments in life that can scar us, though, aren't there? You ever been scarred by a moment, or maybe a better word is been marked by a moment? There's moments in our lives that you can look back on and say, that was a defining moment in my life. For many of us, we've got many such moments like this. Now, I love the movie, actually, I can't even remember the name of the movie right now, but there's a cartoon. What is the name of the movie? I referenced it last week. I'll think of it later and I'll tell you, but there's a movie that talks about core memories and this idea of that. There's a cartoon of it that talks about it. What's it called? Inside Out, that's it. Thank you. Thank you, father of many children. I appreciate that. We're in this together. I've seen it many times. Thank you. But just like Inside Out talks about these core memories, and there's moments like that that define us. I'll never forget moments like the first moment I set foot in a church. I was invited by a friend, and I heard this good news of Jesus. It changed me. It changed everything. It wrecked me for the world altogether as I became transformed by God's great love as I heard this good news. I'll never forget the moment that I was actually in that same church and I watched this beautiful woman walk in the room for the first time and I met my bride for the first time. She didn't know it yet. I knew it. She didn't know it yet. Took her a while. But the moment I met her, I knew I was changed. It was a pivotal moment. I'll never forget it. I'll never forget the moment that I went from being just a guy to being a dad. The moment I first became a father changed me. It marked me, transformed me. And if you're like me, there's moments in your story like that that are highs of highs, but there's also moments that can mark us that maybe are lower. Maybe are a little bit on a different path. Maybe things that maybe didn't go exactly the way we expected or hoped. And I've learned that in life, if I want to grow, I've got to learn not only from the good, but also from the bad. That I can learn and grow from both of the things. And if I do, I'll learn twice as fast. And so there's something powerful about learning from those moments, but I'll never forget a moment that's frozen in time in my brain when I was actually a young man. And I walked with one of my friends, and this relates, don't worry, I'm getting somewhere. I'm talking about this story. But I was walking with one of my best friends as a child, and for one reason or another, as we walked up to a group of kids that I thought were pretty cool, I realized and thought in the back of my head that my friend probably wasn't very cool to them. And so I did something, and I tried to pretend like I didn't know who he was. And I'll never forget the look on his face as I said, I don't know who that guy is. I don't know, he's not with me. As I tried to impress those people, I still, to this day, don't know why I did that. I don't. I still don't know why I did that, but alas, I did it. It's done, I can't change it. But in that moment, I learned something and I resolved, I don't ever want to do that again. In that moment, I decided right then and there, I don't ever want to act one way in front of one group of people and a different way in front of a different group of people. I don't want to do that anymore. And it changed me. It marked me. It defined a moment for me. And I just want to say, God's grace is sufficient for any mistake, any failing that you have, anything that you've done. God's grace is big enough to cover over that sin in my life right then and there. And he was and has done those things. But see, although I did that to my friend, he didn't even reject me. He still was my friend. He still loved me, and that humbled me even more to know that he still called me his friend. See, there's moments like that in all of our lives. Peter, as he walked with Jesus, as Jesus invited him on this grand journey, this grand adventure of following him, Peter, as you recall, before Jesus was crucified, Jesus rightly prophesied and said, Peter, not only are you not perfect, but by the way, you're gonna reject me. You're gonna pretend like you don't even know me. Not once, not twice, but three times before the rooster crows. And you remember the story if you've read the Gospels that he did. He rejected him. He said, I don't know that guy. I'm not with him. He's not my friend. And so as I read Peter's story, I'm reminded of this great hope that you read later in the Gospel of John, John 21. You see Jesus meets Peter, and he still loves him. He still accepts him. He still forgives him. And friend, I just want to say there's something important. There's something important about us learning from those things, those moments in our lives. And maybe you've felt like Peter, as I have. Maybe you've not acknowledged a friend, or maybe you've not acknowledged the Lord Jesus when maybe you should have. Our faith was never meant to be private. It was never meant to be hidden. The things that God wants to do in your life, they're not just for this room. They're not just for you to carry around in your gym bag or to put on a trophy case at home and to say, look what God did, or look at that moment that happened in time. God wants us to take the things of faith out in all of our lives and acknowledge him. And that part is familiar. We've heard that portion of Jesus' teaching. Jesus says we've got to rise up and speak up and not be silent in our faith. But then he continues, Luke 12, 10, we're going to look at this last little section, and then we're going to be through. And it says, he continues and says, and everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, and the one who has blasphemed, but the one who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. And when they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, don't be anxious, do not be anxious about how you should defend yourself, or what you should say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. Jesus gives us a very brief teaching about the empowering ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and we're going to spend more time talking about that a little bit later in Luke's gospel, but he gives us a little brief picture. He gives them a foreglimpse of what he's going to do and what's going to take place, that some of the disciples of Jesus were actually persecuted. All of them were persecuted, some to death. And he was wanting to prepare them for those things. But he talks about this idea of blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. And that's what I want to spend a few minutes as we conclude our time together today talking about. See, here's the big deal. The only sin that is unforgivable is the sin of rejecting God's grace. See, this is the great paradox of the gospel. See, Jesus came for who? He came for the world, right? He came for all. And this is the good news of the gospel, that God so loved the world that he sent his only son, that he loved the world enough. Yes, Jesus came for all. Yes, Jesus came for the world. He came for every one of us. But no, his salvation is not universal, and not all will receive it. See, you and I, we've got to receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. We've got to choose to follow him. As I said, he can make the door, and he can make it open, and he can invite us in and put it right in front of us, but we still have to make the choice to walk through the door. We've got to make the decision to follow him. Now, Jesus emphatically teaches we don't even have to do much, right? There's not much we have to do. It's not by our works, because God himself draws us to him. In fact, this is what he says in John 6, 44. No one can come to me unless what? The Father who sent me draws him. So God has opened the door, and he's put the door in front of us. Friend, you are standing before an open door. And I believe the Father is drawing you unto himself. And I will raise him up on that last day, he concludes. So there's something important here. Sometimes, I don't know why we think this, but sometimes we think of God as being some sort of taskmaster with such a high and lofty bar. We think the bar is up here and God sets it just out of my reach that I'll never be able to reach it. Now, maybe we got that impression from a parent that never accepted us or told us we did a good job. Maybe from a coach or teacher or somebody else in our lives. But that is not the way that God operates. That's not the truth at all. See, not only does God make a way for us to be saved, Not only does he open up the door for us, but he draws us in. He pulls us in. All we have to do is say yes, and he does the rest. That this is not universalism. We don't believe that all are saved, although the way is open and God's grace is enough. But not all do. Sometimes we think, as we struggle, God, couldn't this be a little bit easier? And I'm not just talking about our struggles, but as we deal with our sin and we try and fix our lives and we try and line up our lives with God's word, we think, God, can't you meet me halfway on this one? Right? I believe this. I'm doing this with my life, and your word says this. Can't you meet me halfway? Well, the truth is, God doesn't meet us halfway. He goes all the way. He goes all the way. See, the good news of the covenant, the new covenant that Jesus makes with us is that we don't even have to fulfill our side of it. All we've got to do is open ourselves up to him. And by faith, he saves us. By faith, he restores us. God doesn't go halfway. He goes all the way. See, amen. At the end of the day, we've got to open the door. We've got to walk through the door. We've got to choose to follow Jesus. But we don't even have to do that. Jesus does it for us. In fact, that's what he says in John 15, 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you. Turn to the person next to you and say, God chose you. Now say it again with some conviction. Say, God chose you. I believe it now. God chose you. Jesus says, I chose you. I appointed you so that you could go and bear fruit and that your fruit wouldn't be like the fruit of the world. What does the fruit of the world do when you leave it out on the counter for a couple days? It rots, right? It goes bad. Not in my house. Nothing ever rots in my house. Fruit just goes in and out of the kids, right? But Jesus says the fruit that I want to bear in your life will abide. It will abide because I chose you. You're my son. You're my daughter. So that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. See, when I get to the doorway of faith, the Spirit of the living God draws me in. He chooses us. He calls us. He predestines us, the scriptures declare. But I do have to acquiesce to the will of the Spirit of God. I do have to say yes to his invitation, don't I? I still have to say yes. I could resist. See, the other option is I can choose to ignore the Spirit as he beckons me in. It says, everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but the one who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not. How do we get that phrase? I want to talk real quickly about that. There's a few interpretations, ways we can understand what it means to blaspheme the Holy Spirit. One is to claim that Jesus possessed an unclean spirit. We see that in Mark 3:28. You can look that up. Where they said, you're doing this by the power of the devil. He says, nope, it's by the Spirit of God. Another way we can blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, another interpretation, is I can reject the testimony of God's word, of the disciples' testimony. I can say, God, this is your word isn't true. It's not for me. It's not right. Third way and third interpretation of blasphemy against the Holy Spirit would be a Christian who turns away from God. We might call that apostasy. When someone says, I love the Lord Jesus, and then they turn their lives away. They completely close themselves off. Another interpretation, what I think is probably the best, is a persistent and unremitting resistance to the Spirit's work as he brings conviction of sin and reveals the need for repentance. So here's the truth. When the Spirit of God convicts me of sin, when God makes a door in front of me and invites me to come through, I don't have to do any of the work. I just got to receive what he's doing. But when I stand at the doorway and the Holy Spirit invites me to step through the door of faith and I say, nope, I ain't going in there. Right? As God uses his word to speak to me, and I'm going through my Bible study, and I come to a scripture that I don't like, and I wish it wasn't in there, right? And I can hear the Spirit of the living God speaking to me, reminding me, teaching me, and I can say, nope, not interested. And I can have brothers and sisters, and maybe in my community group, maybe other followers of Jesus that love me, that will see sin, see things in my life that don't line up with God and his ways. And they say, brother, I love you enough. I want to pray with you about God taking this from you. And you say, nope. See, I can resist the things of God. I can resist the things of God. See, but here's the deal. Some of us, sometimes we read scriptures like this and we think, man, God, I hope I haven't ever committed that. Hope I have never done that. And one theologian said, and I love what he said. He said, anyone concerned about this sin has nothing to fear. For such a concern witnesses a sensitivity and an openness to the Spirit's work in our lives. So if you're worried about this, you're like, oh, I hope I didn't do this. It's not you. This isn't for you. This isn't what the Lord is speaking to you about, but it's something important. See, as we read these words about speaking a word against Jesus, as we talk about rejecting Jesus, I believe that every single one of us can bring up a memory of some point in time where we've rejected him. At some point in time where we had an opportunity to acknowledge our faith, to acknowledge Jesus before men, and we chose not to for one reason or a thousand, right? There's a many reasons. But there's moments where we don't do that, and we can read verse 10 and decide, God, you could never forgive me because I've made too many mistakes. But friend, let me just tell you, that's not the good news of the gospel. That's not what Jesus says. That's not what he came to do. And I believe this verse speaks to correct that wrong view of thinking. See, every one of us have denied Jesus at some point in our life, haven't we? We've all done it. Maybe it was before we came to faith at all, and we said, I'm not interested in that Jesus character because I've seen all his followers and I don't like them. Or maybe it was some point along the way where we said, Jesus, I'm going to leave you over there in my gym bag because I don't want to take you to work. I don't want to take you to school. I'm not going to take you to my hobby. I don't want to take you out. I'm going to leave you there, and I'll pull you out when it's time to go to the gym. It's all of us have denied Jesus at some time, and we can still be forgiven. Peter and his story wasn't just written so that we could have something to wag our finger at Peter about. We can say, Peter, you idiot. Why'd you deny Jesus? But I believe Peter's story is for me. I believe Peter's story is for you. See, all of us have rejected the Lord Jesus at some point in our lives. And like Peter, Jesus still loves us. Like Peter, we still have room for grace. See, making a mistake is not a cause for removal from God's family. His grace is sufficient for all of our sins. But there is one that is, and that's when we go like this and say, God, I'm not interested in learning anymore. God, I've learned all I can. I've learned all I want. I've learned all that there is to learn, and I'm not willing to grow anymore. I'm not willing to acquiesce to your Holy Spirit's directing in my life. And I believe that is something that, man, we have to guard ourselves against that posture. And the way we guard ourselves against that posture is to take this posture. It's to worship. It's to give praise to God. It's to put our eyes towards heaven. It's to be reminded of the things that God did. And friend, I just want to conclude by saying this. God has brought before you an open door. He's opened the door for you. He's invited you to come in. His Holy Spirit is drawing you. I don't know where you're at in your journey of faith. Maybe it's the first step of faith and you got to walk through that door of salvation. But for many of us, we've already walked through that door. We got the t-shirt, right? Been there, done that, got the t-shirt. And now Jesus is inviting us to walk through the next door of faith. And then the next one after that. And then the next one after that. And the question is, will you stand there with your arms crossed and say, Jesus, I'm done? Nuh-uh. Or will instead we change our posture and say, Lord Jesus, yes. Lord Jesus, what you want me to do, what your next step of faith in my life is, I say yes. See, we got to choose to follow Jesus, spirit, soul, and body, and acknowledge him. Will you follow Jesus today? Church, will you bow your heads and close your eyes with me as we respond to the Lord and pray? Father, we thank you for your word today. Lord, we thank you that you are beckoning to each one of us. Your invitation is the same. You say, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give them rest. God, I believe that you're drawing each one of us to you today, to be close to you. See, Jesus, we believe you came to raise us to new life, and that's for sure. You came to heal us spiritually, but that's not all. You also came to heal us in our soul, change the way we think, change the way we reason and make decisions. You want to change us from the inside out. Maybe that's you today. And the Spirit of God is convicting you. He's reminding you. He's encouraging you about some area of your life. Maybe you've already walked through the doorway of faith. You got the t-shirt. But there's some area of your life where you're hiding away from God. And God says, would you just let me in? Would you just walk through the door that I can change it, that I can fix it, that I can restore it, that I can heal it, that I can grow it? See, I believe that's what the Lord wants to do in some of our lives today. But you got to be willing. You got to be receptive to the things of God. God wants to heal you, not only spiritually, but in your soul. And he can only do that if we won't give him just a head nod, but we'll acknowledge him before men. We'll say, Lord, I want to be changed by you. Because our faith was never meant to be private or hidden. Perhaps this morning as I shared my story or shared a bit of Peter's story about denying a friend, denying Jesus, perhaps the Spirit of God is convicting your soul that you've done the same. This morning I want you to be reminded that Jesus loves you. In fact, can you just hold out your hands this morning as a posture of receiving from God? I want to pray a blessing over every one of us today. Father, I thank you for your grace and your mercy. This morning, I pray that you would fill us up, Lord God. Fill us with faith today to take our next steps. Lord, we believe that you've called us, that you love us, that you want to be with us. And today, Lord God, if we've had our arms crossed, if we've been resistant to you, Spirit of God, right here, right now, we open our hands. We say, Lord God, yes. We want all that you have for us. We pray that you'd give us faith, give us courage to take our next steps. We thank you, Lord, that you love us, no matter what, in Jesus' name. Finally, with every head bowed and every eye still closed in this room today, perhaps you're here within the sound of my voice and you've never made the commitment to follow Jesus. You never walked through that door for the first time. You've never said yes to God's free gift of grace. I believe that may be some of you needing to take the very first step of faith today. See, as we looked at today, Jesus said it clearly. He said, if you'll acknowledge me before men, I'll acknowledge you before my Father in heaven. But he said, if you don't, I won't. So there's something important about acknowledging it, agreeing with someone here about it. So in a moment, with every head bowed and eye closed, I just want to do that with you. I want to agree with you in prayer. So if that's you, with every head bowed and eye closed, I'm not going to call you down front or do anything else, but I just want to agree with you. If that's you today, you say, I want to say yes to the Lord Jesus. I want to give my life to him and acknowledge my need for eternal life, my need for restoration, my need for forgiveness for my past, power for today, and eternal life for my future. If that's you, would you lift up your eyes and would you just raise up your hand so I can agree with you in prayer? That's you. Thank you. God bless you. Anyone else today, you say, that's me today. Thank you. I see you. God bless you. Anyone else in the house today, you say, that's me. I want to say yes to the Lord Jesus. Thank you. Church, can we repeat this prayer with those who may be praying it for the first time? Repeat after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you for dying on the cross. In my place, for my sins, I ask you to forgive my sins and give me the gift of eternal life. I ask you into my life and heart to be my Lord and Savior. I want to follow you, Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. Can we celebrate today in this house?